So we're covering chapter 18, verses 1 through 4 is all we're covering tonight. But really, it's all we need to cover. It's a complete package in and of itself. Let's read it together, starting there in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And really, it has a lot to do with fellowship and love. Notice it says, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. We ended last week, remember, with David. He killed Goliath. We saw the whole scene there. And Saul, being impressed by who this young man was, what tribe, where is he from, which tribe and all that. He calls him in there and says, David, where are you from? And they tell him where he's from. And while David is sharing his heart, we see that Jonathan begins to just really knit his heart in love with David. You know, there's a special love between a man and a wife that really is a love between a man and a wife. I don't know any other way to say it. But there's also a special love between a man and a man and a woman that is in the Lord can be just as intense in many ways. Now, obviously not in the relationship of a marriage, but in the sense of just someone that you love and that you share your heart with, and they share your heart with you, and there's something that happens there. You know, they say that there's only about one or two people in your entire life that you ever really have a relationship like that with. And that's what the world says. In the body of Christ, it doesn't have to be that way. In the body of Christ, we have lots of people that we have relationships, you know, in depth, and some more than others. But this is where David and Jonathan were. Again, they were men that loved each other, had fellowship together, and stood with each other. And really what we're looking at tonight are the characteristics and blessings of a Jonathan. And as I read this and I studied this, I was like, Lord, make me a Jonathan. I want to be like a Jonathan. I want to be that way to you guys. I want to be that way to others around me. And you'll see what I mean when we talk tonight. Jonathan was an amazing man. And I love it when you see guys like Jonathan, because there's a lot of guys in Scripture that you don't talk about a lot. You don't get a lot of teachings about Jonathan at conferences. You get a lot of teachings about David. You get a lot of teachings about, you know, Jonah and Noah and, you know, Abraham and all these Jesus and all these other. That's great. But you don't get as many of the teachings about Jonathans. And those that really are kind of behind the scenes, but are the ones that truly are giving their life and loving others, just amazing. Think of Barnabas. Again, Barnabas was a real encourager. And we're going to see that Jonathan was a real encourager as well. And when it comes to life alone, we all need encouragers, don't we? Especially, it's true when it comes to our walk in the Lord. And if you ever step out into ministry, just walking with the Lord, you need an encourager. But if you ever step out in ministry, you need encouragement. We all do. Because we need to know that somebody's pulling with us. Somebody's helping us. I mean, life can be discouraging and ministry can be worse. And here's why. Spiritual warfare. And so those of you that step out into ministry, again, you're going to have your life discouragements as they are. But you step out into ministry, there's going to be more opportunities to be discouraged. And again, there aren't that many encouragers in the world. We need encouragers and we need to be encouragers. And if you're not an encourager, and you know, I want to be more of an encourager. You know, we need to pray to the Lord. Be more of an encourager. You know, I've told the staff sometimes here, I'm not that real good at patting people on the back and encouraging them. I appreciate them to death. They do a great job. Ministry couldn't go on without them. But I find that very rarely do I pat them on the back and say, man, you're doing awesome. And then, you know, usually when I do, it's kind of awkward because it's not something that, you know, just is natural for us. But we need to pray. God, make us encouragers. Make us Barnabases. Make us Jonathans. And that's what we'll see Jonathan was tonight. William Barclay said this. He's a commentator. He said, one of the highest of human duties is the duty of encouragement. It is easy to laugh at men's ideals. It is easy to pour cold water on their enthusiasm. It is easy to discourage others. The world is full of discouragers. But we have a Christian duty to encourage one another. Many a time a word of praise or thanks or appreciation or cheer has kept a man on his feet. Blessed is the man who speaks such a word. Proverbs 15:23 says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You ever had somebody say that word that you needed just at that moment? God knows how to do that, doesn't he? I had one of these days, you know, we all have these days, where it's just a tough day. And I had one recently, just everything was going wrong. It's just one of those days. We all have them. Nothing in particular, you know, just kind of one day that's just, this is really hard today. I don't know why, but it's very hard. And I remember right before bed, you know, I like to try to read a little bit of the word before, you know, night. God told Joshua, he said, you know, if you meditate my word day and night, you know, your way will prosper spiritually. And so I take that to heart and I get in the word, you know, not like I'm some big, you know, I want you to make you think that I'm spending like hours of time. I just read a little bit of the word before I go to bed. I want to read it. I want to go to bed chewing on it, you know, kind of meditating. And I remember having this horrible day, and I opened up the Bible, and I read this psalm that was like, that's exactly what I needed to hear. It could not have been more perfect. It was like this huge encouragement from God. And then I went to bed kind of still. You know, sometimes you get encouraged, and you don't really want to receive it because you want to pout just a little bit longer. And I knew God had encouraged me, and I was like, well, I don't know if I was done pouting or not, but Lord, you're so good. Thank you. So I went to bed with a little bit of the pouty heart. I got up the next morning, and the first thing on the radio, you know, comes on, and, you know, one of the guys that's on the radio that wakes you up, one of the pastors there, 101.1, he was sharing exactly again the very same thing that I needed to hear. It was like this sandwich God had given me between rest. It's like he gave me encouragement, gave me all the hours of sleep, and then more encouragement when I woke up and said, now, come on, get up and get going. And that's what our God does, you see. And that's a supernatural thing. Only God can do that, but that's what we need to be for each other. It's so easy to discourage each other, but to try to find some way to encourage. There's something, you know, even no matter how, you know, goofy somebody's life is, you can find something to encourage them about. You know, I remember hearing somebody say, well, you know, this one woman who was an encourager, she was a grandma, and she encouraged everybody. And they said, you know, you probably would give encouragement to Satan. She said, well, I will say this. He sure is, you know, persistent. Because she could find something in everyone that she could encourage in. And that's a wonderful thing. Proverbs 15:30 says this, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, the Bible says. You ever feel that? You just like your hope is deferred, and your heart gets sicker and sicker and sicker. And all of a sudden, God sends this beautiful word, you know, like apples and settings of gold. And just there it is. There's this beautiful thing, and it builds you up and lifts you up. And so that's what we're going to see Jonathan as when we see this life of Jonathan. This was the kind of man that he was and the kind of man that he was for David. How we need Jonathans in our life and how we need to be Jonathans. You know, whether we're leaders or not, we need to be Jonathans. We're going to see tonight the characteristics of a Jonathan, the characteristics really and the blessings. So what are the first characteristics? Faithfulness and loyalty. Notice verse 1. Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that is David, he'd shared his heart. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I love it. Once Jonathan heard David's heart, it says his soul was knit to him. There was a faithfulness and a loyalty that was bred in to Jonathan's heart when he heard David. But now you have to have a heart that can allow that to happen. And this is where Jonathan's heart was. You see, Jonathan was the kind of guy that didn't have to be the main guy. He didn't have to be the leader. He didn't have to be the one that got all the adulation. I mean, after all, he was the prince. He was set to be the next king. And he could have had an attitude and said, you know, who is this guy? And, well, he did a good fight and all, but thank you and go on back to the ranks now and back to your sheep. But Jonathan was the type to recognize God's hands on this guy and his heart. He just loves the Lord. He loves the Lord like I do. And he's serving God. He's going for it. I want to be around a guy like that. That's who I want to hang out with. And as he began to listen to David, his heart began to burn. I've been around people like that. I hear them. And my heart begins to burn and go, you know what? I want to be around. It's like-mindedness. You ever get around people that are like-minded and you just rejoice? It seems like you can go forever and not find anybody like-minded. And it's always this struggle. You know, it's like we're just not hitting on all cylinders. And then all of a sudden God brings somebody in that's like-minded and it's like a breath of fresh air. And it's sweet. That's what Jonathan was to David. And that's what David was now to Jonathan. Now, David didn't know it yet, but Jonathan did. And his soul was knit to him. I love it. The Bible declares, interesting, that man is a trichotomy that is created in the image of God. We are really a trinity in a small way. We're not a trinity in the sense of being God, but we were made in God's image. And the Bible says because we were made in God's image, we're made up of three parts as well. And that's really what this word is talking about here. Of course, God is made up of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So God, making us in his image, has made us a triunity, a Trinitarian type being, just not God. But we have the three parts to us. And yet it's kind of interesting God did that because we have three parts, but we're still one, aren't we? And God is three parts, but one. Three persons, really, but one. We are three parts, but one. So it's not exactly the same, but you get the point. The Bible says the body is our physical aspect. The spirit, of course, is our spiritual aspect, and the soul is our mental or thinking and reasoning aspect. That's what the soul is. So when you read about the soul, he says his soul was knit to David here. Jonathan, what it's saying is Jonathan's knitting to David was not only because they both love God, and that was that spiritual connection, you know, that they obviously had together, but after hearing how David thought, after hearing the way David saw things, after hearing the way David approached things, he said, my heart's knit to this guy. See, both David and Jonathan, they're very much alike in that they were both go-getters and they trusted in God. They just believed in God to do great things. They were visionaries and they had faith. And yet Jonathan was the type that said, hey, I have vision and I have faith like David does, but I feel more like a number two guy. I don't feel like the guy to be leading it. Let Jonathan handle that, or rather David handle that. But they had the same kind of heart. And David thought like a leader, and not just a leader, but a leader with faith. David had vision, and David had the faith to carry it out. See, that's what happened with Goliath. He had vision. I can see that guy going down. God has given me the faith. I know that God has called me. I see John. He's going down. God has called me, and he had faith to do it, and he had faith to carry it out. And Jonathan loved this type of mindset, and combined with David's love for God, it knit his heart. They were knit together. Same purpose, pulling the same way. And how we need more leaders and more Jonathans to encourage them. How we need people like this. That is, leaders to lead the way with vision and faith, and then the Jonathans to come alongside and be an encouragement in that vision and faith. See, maybe you're a visionary and you have faith. You're just the type of person that says, you know what? I can see this happening. God can do this, and I believe God for it. Let's go. Let's just do it. And what you need with you, you see, is a Jonathan with you to say, all right, I'm with you. I know you can, and I'm binding with you. Let's do it together. It's interesting. Jonathan literally means Jehovah has given. Jehovah has given. And if you have an encourager in your life that is close to you, it is truly a gift of God. Do not take it for granted. It's a gift of the Lord. Though they don't come around that often. But when you've got one that's cheering for you and, you know, lifting you up, it's a wonderful thing. According to Chuck Swindoll, he said some years ago there was a cartoon where a little guy was taking heat from his sisters and his friends for a newly found calling that he felt he had, and that was patting little birds on the head. And in the cartoon, he said the little distressed birds would approach, lower their little feathered heads to be patted. They would sigh deeply, and he would pat them, and they'd walk away satisfied. It brought him not only fulfillment in spite of the teasing, but a joy to do this. And he thought, so what's wrong with patting little birds on the head? He wanted to know, what's wrong with it? His embarrassed friends replied, well, nobody else does it. That's what's wrong with it. He goes on to say, you know, if your niche is encouraging, please don't stop. If it is embracing, demonstrating warmth, compassion, and mercy to feathers that have been ruffled by offense or bruised by adversity, for goodness sake, keep stroking. Don't quit whatever you do. If God has made you a patter, then keep on patting to the glory of God. You know, if you're an encourager, you got those little birds coming up to you with their heads down every so often. And they need you to reach out and pat them and say, it's going to be all right. God's still on the throne. Yeah, but this and this and this. God's still on the throne. Let me pray with you. Be an encourager. Jonathan was a pat. And man, we as Christians need him, don't we? And God sent Jonathan into David's life to be an encourager and support through thick and thin. And David needed this to help him to get through the hard and difficult times. See, God knew the call that he had in David's life. And if he's going to send David through all this hard stuff, he needs somebody to encourage him. How would you like to run for 10 years or so out in the wilderness from Saul, who was crazy, hiding in caves and doing all that? You would need some encouragement. And by the time you go from cave to cave to cave and years keep going by and you're in the desert, it's kind of like, okay, you know what? Maybe I've missed something here. You know, I think maybe I've missed my calling, you know, and you know, I don't know that God called me to run from someone trying to kill me for years. I mean, what do you think? And yet he had guys that God just moved in their hearts, and they came and joined him. And they said, David, you know what? Wherever you go, I'm going. And whatever you do, I'm doing. And I don't care who hates you. I don't care what happens. I'm standing with you, David, because I see God's hand in your life. That's a Jonathan. These are the kind of guys that, remember, they broke through. They went down to Bethlehem. Bethlehem had been taken over by the Philistines. And David was from Bethlehem. And David said, oh, I wish I had some of the water in Bethlehem from the spring there, you know. And it wasn't that David really wanted the water from Bethlehem. What he was saying was, I wish Bethlehem was free and they were released from our enemies. And I could go down there and just enjoy the freshness of my hometown and drink the water again. These guys went and broke through enemy lines to get David some water. These were Jonathans. They were men who said, I see God's hand on your life and my heart's knit to yours and I see God's doing a work and we're going to stand with you. It's just, I love it. It's beautiful. And again, it takes a work of the Spirit for God to raise people around you like that. But God will do that. He will raise people up around you like that, that are faithful and that love you and they're loyal to you. Someone who just is going to always be there for the visionary leader to say, you know what, if you want to do it, I'm with you. Let's go. And they have enthusiasm. The last thing a visionary leader needs around him is somebody telling him no or why he can't do something. You ever seen people like that? There's some people that no matter what you say, well, you can't do that. Well, why? We just can't. It's impossible. Well, what about with God? And we can do it. I'm sorry, it just won't work. Well, I'm just not going to receive that. We're going to try it anyway. And we'll find out what God does. What David needed was somebody to stand with him and say, David, I don't care how crazy it sounds. We're going to do it. And whether it works or not, I'm going to stand with you till the end. If you go down, I'm going down with you. But I see God's work and I see God's hand. I love it. Again, I'm not talking about irresponsibility that never speaks up. If they, you know, if you think somebody's heading the wrong direction, you need to tell them. That's wisdom and it's needed. But I'm talking about someone who will step out in faith with you, trust the Lord, and be an encourager along the way, even against the odds. Rather than giving you a list of reasons why you can't do it, they'll stand with you and say, you know what? Who cares about the obstacles? God can move mountains. Now, why was Jonathan this kind of encourager to David? Because Jonathan had this kind of encourager himself. Jonathan had a Jonathan, his armor bearer. I want to read it real quick. Flip back to chapter 14. We've already covered this, but it really applies to tonight so beautifully. I want to read it very quickly, just so you can see why, how Jonathan got to be who Jonathan was and where Jonathan got where he was for David, because Jonathan had experienced this. Notice it says in chapter 14, verse 1, it happened one day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who bore his armor, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that's on the other side. But he didn't tell his father. And Saul was sitting on the outskirts of Gibeah under the pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people who were with him were about 600 men. And Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, was wearing the ephod. But the people did not know where Jonathan had gone, or that he'd gone, rather. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. And the name of one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Senon. Now, these rocks must have been impressive to get names. I don't know about you, I don't usually name rocks. So these were obviously quite impressive rocks. And the point, they say they were sharp rocks. They were very, no doubt, very jagged, very, you know, these very impressive, jagged, you know, sharp rocks or whatever. The front of one faced northward opposite Michmash and the other southward opposite Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. And it may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So his armor bearer said to him, do all that's in your heart. Go then. Here I am with you according to your heart. Jonathan, I see God's hand on you. And it looks crazy to me. It looks to me like you're going in a really, a real sharp area. These sharp rocks that could really be a lot of resistance. You're going without any help, without any armor with you, without any rather of the army with you. You're going to go up there and fight the Philistines by yourself. You know, just you and I, and you're going to go in and do that. But you know what, Jonathan? You're a man of faith. You're a visionary. And if you say it, I'm going to go with you. Let's go. Let's do it. Again, this is what Jonathan needed. He needed somebody encouraging him, not telling him why he couldn't do it. The sharp, you know, the rocks are too sharp. The hill's too steep. You can't climb that. And if you do go up on your hands and knees, by the time you get there, you'll be exhausted. And then you're going to die for sure. And then there's going to be Philistines waiting on you with swords drawn. And you're going to be surrounded. And you can't, it's like, just be quiet. Are you with me or not? I'm with you. My heart is knit to your heart. Let's go. I love it. Jonathan said, very well, let us cross over to these men and we will show ourselves to them. If they say, that's to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. But if they say, come on up, then we'll go up, for the Lord has delivered them in our hand and we will, this will be a sign to us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, the Hebrews are coming out of their holes where they've hidden. It's kind of a mockery. And then the men of the garrison called to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up here and we'll show you something. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, yes, doesn't say that, but come up with me, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, into the hand of Israel. This is our sign. And Jonathan loved his boldness and his courage and his faith, and he climbed up on his hands and his knees. Notice that. I'm going to get this picture of he's going up to fight all these guys and be outnumbered, and he's climbing up on his hands and his knees. It's not exactly the way to prepare for battle. And his armor bearer is with him. I clink, 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 and here they go, you know. And they fell before Jonathan, or rather, after him, and they fell before Jonathan. As he came after him, his armor bearer would kill them. So Jonathan would whack him and then keep going, and the armor bearer would come up and kill him. I love it. And Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his knees with his armor bearer. Again, they killed them. The first slaughter with which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within half of an acre of land. So notice this. Again, you can flip back now to 18. But my point is, notice this, that Jonathan had someone in his life who was a Jonathan. He said, I love you, man. I see God's hand in your life. And you know what? I don't know about this. You seem to have this vision for it. You've got the faith. I'm with you. Let's go. David needed a Jonathan because he's about to embark in a life of serving the Lord that's going to take vision. It's going to take faith. There's going to be a lot of setbacks. There's going to be a lot of opposition. There's going to be times of running in the wilderness. There's going to be times of hiding in caves. There's going to be times of great triumph. And Jonathan was with him every step of the way until Jonathan lost his life in battle, which we'll get to later. But the point is David needed this. God knew that David needed this. And again, that's why God brought Jonathan into his life. Not only was his soul knit to him, but he loved him. I love that. Like-minded men of faith will always have a strong bond of love for one another because their faith and love is not only grounded in like-mindedness, but also grounded in their faith and love for God. See, it's unified because of God. That's what makes it unified. And so Jonathan loves him and says, man, this guy, my heart's with him. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. He realized what a valuable asset he was. He's like, you know what? I'm not letting you go home. You're going to stay with me. He keeps him there. And now we come to the next characteristic of a Jonathan. And that's the ability to commit himself and stand together with him, to commit to each other. Notice verse 3. It says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. A covenant, again, is a binding agreement that both parties commit to. And when you're knit together in the Lord, it's easy to commit to each other or to a ministry that you're involved in together because your hearts are one. You're pulling the same direction. You know, you have the same goals and the same heart. This was David and Jonathan. It's wonderful. And so he says, you know, yeah, you better believe it. I'll make a covenant with you, David. We're going to stand together. And this last verse, again, is one of the most impressive to me about Jonathan. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. The fourth characteristic of a Jonathan, laying down ourself for others, having that spirit and heart to lay down what we want for the sake of a cause. And he saw the cause was for the nation of Israel, that David was in the middle of that cause. Now, it's interesting. Notice this, giving David his robe and his armor, even to his sword and his bow, was the same as relinquishing his rights to the throne and his kingdom for the call God had placed on David. See, remember the robes that he was wearing, princely robes. He was the prince. And basically what he did was, after he heard David talk, he said, you know what? I'm a prince, but you're a king. And he took it off and said, you know what? You need to put this on. Because I think Jonathan knew at that moment, David is going to be the next ruler of the nation of Israel. But here's what it takes to be a Jonathan. What it takes to be a Jonathan is to be able to rejoice with others when you see God blessing them. And Jonathan saw God's hand in David's life. Jonathan was being blessed, but he saw a call on David's life. He said, you know what? I don't have to have the glory. I don't have to be the one that's important. I don't have to have what I want. I don't have to do things my way. I see God's called you. I want to do things your way. And I'm here to serve you. And that's the heart of Jonathan. That's the heart of a Barnabas. That same kind of encouraging and standing with you. And again, willing to lay down his rights to the throne for this one that really he just met. You know, Jonathan saw again this call on him, was willing to lay down all his personal rights and benefits in order to support David and be a part of what God was doing in David's life. And again, this can't come except with a total denial. You know, there's no way we can encourage each other in the ministry God has called them to. You know, it's rare that we're in that kind of situation where we're, you know, we'd be called to lay our life down just to serve someone else. But we're called to lay our life down to serve each other all the time, every day. But in this sense of a prince and a king, it's not that common of a thing, but it shows you the heart of a Jonathan. You know, it's easy to seek our own agenda. It's much harder to lay it down for a greater cause. And Jonathan realized that by laying down his agenda and goals, he was really picking up God's agenda and God's goals. Because he said, you know what? I see God working in David's life. Also in this, there is a type of Christ, of course, in David. And there are two beautiful pictures here that I want us to get before we wrap this up. And that is how we're to be with the Lord when it comes to being a Jonathan with the Lord. Notice first, Jonathan, by stripping himself of his own armor and goods and giving them to David, he was willingly giving everything he had to the king. In other words, once he recognized that this was the king that was anointed, he said, I give everything I have to you. Isn't that how we are with Jesus? We recognize him as the king, the one that has died for us. We give it, we take it, we say, Lord, it's all yours. I give it all to you. Everything's yours. I lay it all down. You know, whatever I thought I could have in this world or whatever I thought I might achieve in this world, you know, all of us, before we come to the Lord, we have our goal of what we want to be or what we want to do, right? We want to be famous in something, or we want to do this, or we want to do that. When we see Jesus, when we see our King, we lay it down. Lord, it's all yours. You take it. And I just give it to you now. Whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. I love it. And that was the heart of Jonathan. Secondly, though, by giving up his armor and robe, he was in reality giving up his position as prince to David. I mean, that's really laying it all down. You know, I didn't have that much to lose when I came to the Lord. Some of you, I don't know where you were when you came to the Lord, but I was pretty much at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, you couldn't really go any lower. It wasn't like I was going to give my life to the Lord, and boy, I really gave up a lot, you know, for Jesus. I gained everything. It was all gain for me. And really, it's all gain for all of us. But to see the Lord and realize, you know what? Lord, you're the prince, you're the king. I'm going to give you everything, and I'm laying down my life to serve you. Everything I have is yours, and I want to be your servant. I want to be a Jonathan to my King David, to Jesus Christ, and be a Jonathan to him and say, I see that God, you have a plan. God is working through you in this world. I want to be a part of that. And any way that I can serve you, I want to do that. Now, we can be our own Jonathan. We can run off on our own and say, you know, I'm going to be my own prince. I'll do my own thing. That's not really having a heart of a Jonathan. That's not really serving the Lord. Once we realize who Jesus really is in our life, we should without delay step down from the throne of our life and let him take the reins. Lord, I'm getting off the throne. You take it. It's all yours. We're to strip ourselves of looking for any position and give everything we have to Jesus. That's hard to do. We by nature, you know, and our culture breeds it. We're trying to work our way up some ladder, you know, and fight our way to this and fight our way to that. And the Lord comes along and says, I want you to lay everything down. He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be the least of all. Be the servant of all. You don't have to get the glory. You don't have to be the one that gets all the attention. Lay it down. And so as we look at this passage tonight, I want to ask ourselves a couple of questions, all of us. And that is this, are we encouragers like Jonathan? Are you an encourager? And if we're not encouragers, let's ask God tonight, make us encouragers. We want to be encouragers, Lord, for the kingdom of God. That's what we want to be. You know, and just lifting each other up. And so let's pray to make that God will make us that way. And if we do, we're going to be a very small group of people in the world, of a very needed group. You know, we need encouragement, and we need to be encouragers. But lastly, as we see Jesus for who he really is, as our ruler and our king, have we stripped ourselves of everything we have, we are, and that we want to be, so that he might be the Lord of all in our life? Let's look at him tonight and just say, Lord, it's all yours. I strip it off. There's nothing. I just give it all to you, and whatever you do with it. You know, there's nothing quite as peaceful as giving everything over to the Lord and realizing it's all his, because now you don't have to struggle to try to keep it. You know, if you've got something you're fighting for and striving for, it's misery. Let it go. I love David's attitude. You know, when David was run out of his own kingdom by his own son, Absalom rebelled, remember. Got an army together and ran David out of his kingdom. As David was leaving, they were like, you know, this guy, Shammai, was yelling at him, throwing dust, kicking dust at him, and screaming at him the whole time as he left. You remember the story? And they were like, hey, you want me to go over and cut his head off, this guy? You don't want to talk to the king that way. He said, leave him alone. He said, leave him alone. He said, look, if God delights in me, God will bring me back. And God will give me a place of honor. God will give me a place of favor. And God will restore me. Let God be in control. And although David was sad, and although David was humiliated, and all these things that happened in David's life, he had rest. He trusted in the Lord. And guys, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to give everything. We need to strip everything off tonight and give it to him. That's the heart of a Jonathan, and that's the kind of heart that we need as well. Say, all right, Lord, I give it all to you. It's yours. And then at the same time, Lord, make us encouragers. And so really that's the thrust of what I think we need to ask the Lord to do tonight as we look at these four verses. It's for God to make us encouragers and God to help us to strip ourselves of all we are and give it over to the Lord. And what a better time to do it. On a night that we're taking communion, remembering that he stripped himself of his glory. He stripped himself of his own flesh with the beatings that he took and hung himself on a cross so that we could be in the kingdom with him. Hey, if he did it, how much more should we do it? And so let's lay it down for him tonight. Let's pray. Lord, I pray tonight that you would make us those, Lord, that would be encouragers. God, make us encouragers. We desire to be encouragers. Lord, we need to be encouragers, and we need to be encouraged. And I pray, God, you would cultivate that in our life and cultivate that in our hearts. That we would be those, God, that would be patting the head, so to speak, and lifting up, Lord, the chins that are bowed down. It's so easy to criticize. Lord, it seems to come natural to us, but it's a work of your Spirit to be an encourager and to point the eyes to heaven. Lord, do that in us. And Lord, tonight I pray as well that even as Jonathan stripped himself, he took off his armor, his sword, his bow, everything, and gave it to David and said, you know what, I'm here to serve you. God, give us hearts like that. As we look at you tonight, that we would strip everything away and say, Jesus, I give my heart to you. I give everything to you. Nothing is mine. It's all yours, and you're on the throne and you control it. And Lord, that we would give that over to you with joy, realizing that it is you, Lord, that is the anointed one. And we are simply your servants. And God, make us servants to each other. We thank you, Lord. And Lord, tonight as we remember your body, and we remember your blood. Lord, that's what you did for us. You stripped yourself of all the rights of heaven. And you came to earth as a man. Fully God, yet fully man. And Lord, you were tortured for us. And you were crucified for us. And tonight, we remember your body. That was broken for us on the cross. That was broken for us, Lord, as your skin was broken, as you were beaten, Lord. And Lord, we remember it by the bread that we break. But Lord, we also remember the blood and how your blood was spilled out, Lord, not only in the lashings, but more importantly, at the cross, when the nails were driven through your wrists and your feet. Lord, as you hung there for us and you took our punishment, Lord, we remember what you've done tonight. And I pray for sweet fellowship, Lord, with you as we remember what you've done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.